Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message this morning comes from our lesson from Revelation chapter 7, which was read for you just a few moments ago. The title of my message is Look Beyond the Glass. Are you a glass half full or half empty kind of person? Are you a pessimist, always waiting for something to go wrong? Or are you that positive Pollyanna who can always have a bright outlook no matter what calamity you're facing? A lot of experts will tell you that the key to being happy and successful is having a positive outlook on life. Always look for the good in people. Find the silver lining in every situation. And just start each day with that positive, optimistic attitude no matter what. And there certainly may be some truth to this. But I wonder, how far can a glass half full outlook really get you? I mean, a positive attitude isn't going to magically fix my broken marriage. A positive attitude isn't going to take away my loved one's cancer. It's not going to get my teenager to change his attitude or bring my grandkids back to church. And a positive attitude certainly isn't going to undo that horrific accident or bring my loved ones back from the dead. So what do we do when someone is facing difficulty and heartache in their life? We want to say something that'll bring encouragement, don't we? Most of us are well-meaning and have good intentions, but in the midst of tragedy and grief, it's important to recognize that encouraging positivity can be downright insensitive. Here's an example. How would you feel if at the funeral of your 10-year-old child, someone came up and said, "Well, look on the bright side. At least you got to be with her for those 10 years. What if someone said, "Just be positive. Look, tomorrow's a new day." You'd probably have to muster up all your strength and will not to punch that person in the face. We may even try to sanitize our comments by making them religious and adding a Bible verse or two. Don't be sad. As Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice always. Don't worry. This is all part of God's plan, or God is just using this to make you stronger. Here's the problem. When you are crushed, when the weight of the world is on your shoulders, someone telling you to just be more positive, even when supported by Scripture, is just a bigger burden to bear. So today, let me suggest a different approach. Don't worry about whether the glass is half full or half empty. Rather, look beyond the glass. In fact, look to the one who pours the water. This morning, I would suggest that in order to bring true comfort and hope, you must look beyond the glass and keep your eyes fixed on three objects: heaven, God's Word, and Jesus. Today, on this All Saints Day, we have this beautiful reading from the book of Revelation. The Apostle John is given a vision of heaven. He has the pleasure of getting a peek behind the curtain, a glimpse beyond the glass, if you will. He has the pleasure of witnessing this great multitude, so many that he cannot even count them. And they are standing before God's throne. They're standing before the Lamb, before Jesus, and they're all bowing down before him, giving him praise and honor. And John's vision, he gives us this wonderful foretaste of what is to come. We won't be hungry anymore. We won't be thirsty anymore. In other words, we will be completely fulfilled. The sun won't scorch us anymore. There'll be no more tears. In other words, we won't experience sorrow, pain, or grief. And then the most delightful thing of all, Jesus will be there. The Lamb will be in the midst of his people, shepherding us, bringing us to springs of living water. What a joy. What a delight. And guess what? This is your destiny. John talks to one of the elders, and he lets John know who these people are, clothed in white robes, the one whom John can't count. He says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These people that John sees, they're you and me. They are our future. But in order to see it, in order to believe it, you had to look through the eyes of faith. Because right now, you and me are in that time of tribulation. Right now, we're in the midst of a broken world, a world full of many tears, many unfulfilled dreams, a world of loss and grief and pain, a world full of sin. And when you're in that world that's full of pain and grief, it's pretty hard to imagine one without it. I don't know about you, but when I'm caught up in the midst of sin, in the midst of tribulation, it's very difficult to imagine that there can be something better. I just feel broken and defeated. But you see, this is why God has given you and me the book of Revelation, to help us look beyond the glass, to look beyond this world and to see a glimpse of the world to come. Paradise is a promise that we can hang on to. Heaven gives us hope. You may have noticed that the book of Revelation is one of the most intriguing as well as one of the most controversial books of the Bible. You have those who can't wait to sink their teeth into this book of the Bible because they're looking for a thrill, something interesting and exciting. The vivid language, the intense tribulation, the horrific beast, the breathtaking cherubim, it's all so captivating. Not to mention the idea of satisfying one's curiosity about the end of the world. On the other hand, you have other Christians who avoid this book at all costs. It's scary. It's confusing. And with all the symbolism and apocalyptic literature, we'd rather just leave it to the exegetical experts. But you know, Revelation, when you break it down, is actually a wonderfully simple book. And our text today wonderfully encapsulates it. Revelation is not about pinpointing when Jesus will return or when the end will come. Revelation is a marvelous vision to show us that through Christ's death and resurrection, the end has already come. Our future is sealed. You and I share in Christ's victory now. In short, we win. Yes, we must continue in this world full of tribulation, but through John's vision, we can look past the glass and have a glimpse of the joy that is to come. And that heavenly glimpse gives us hope for the future. So I know what you may be thinking. Okay, heaven may help for the future, but what about now? How do I cope with life's challenges today? Well, this is where God's word comes in. When life beats you up, when your glass is less than half full or you don't have anything at all, look to God's word. God's word has promises for every situation in life, and perhaps none are sweeter than the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5 that we read today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. These promises are much more than just positive thinking. They are, in fact, real blessings for you. They are blessings that God showers on his people. Are you poor? Are you lowly, mourning, grieving, sad, persecuted? Guess what? Jesus says you are blessed. You will be comforted. You will receive reward and great blessing. Rejoice. You are part of God's kingdom, part of God's family, God's loved child. Now, as I said earlier, a positive attitude isn't going to magically fix everything. God's word isn't a silver bullet either. God's word won't necessarily fix your marriage or cure your cancer or protect your loved one who is at war. But I'll tell you what it does do. It gives you hope and promise of seeing beyond your marriage, beyond the cancer, beyond the war. God's word helps you to see who is behind it all and who is in the midst of it all. God's word shows us the saints who have gone before us. I mean, that's really what All Saints Day is about. We see the saints who have already wrestled with the same things that we struggle with today. We are witnesses of our father Abraham and his journey of faith. We cheer on the sidelines as he boldly steps out in faith with great conviction, and then in the next moment cringe as he demonstrates a real lack of trust in God. We are witnesses of Joseph and are heartbroken as he is sold into slavery by his own brothers and wrongfully imprisoned. We are witnesses of Hosea as he anguishes over whether or not to remain faithful to his unfaithful wife, Gomer. We are witnesses of Queen Esther and sit on the edge of our seats in suspense as she risks it all to save her people from genocide. We are witnesses of the Apostle Paul and watch with great admiration as he endures times of poverty and loss, of being beaten and run out of town, of being shipwrecked and left for dead, all for the sake of the gospel. We witness desperate friends as they destroy a rooftop to get Jesus to see and heal their paralytic pal. We join our prayers with David and the other psalmists as they complain and lament to God, as they cry out for deliverance from their enemies, and as they ultimately give God honor and praise regardless of the outcome. These stories of the saints help us to realize that we're not alone. They help us to realize that whether our glass is half full or half empty, ultimately the glass that we have is from God. And we can trust him to eat and drink whatever is placed before us. But perhaps that's the real difficulty here. The bitter pill, the unpalpable truth, is that the glass you have is from God. And sometimes that glass is less than half empty. In fact, sometimes it's even worse than empty. It's full of sourness and bitterness. And my encouragement to you today, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let God off the hook. It's tempting to look at the tragedy that strikes us and simply say, well, God doesn't have anything to do with that. That's just part of this broken world. Well, try telling that to some of the saints who have gone before. Try telling that to Job. Try telling that to the sons of Korah, who let God have it in Psalm 88. They write, "You have put me in the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless." This psalmist is one of our great cloud of witnesses, and he invites you to make his prayer your prayer. Cry out to God. Be angry with him. Ask him, why has he poured you this glass of bitter sadness? It's much better than the alternative, simply walking away from God. Whether your glass is half full or half empty, keep coming back to God. Keep trusting in him and his promises. Keep walking in the footsteps of the saints who have gone before. Keep looking beyond the glass. For it is only beyond the glass that you will satisfy your deepest need: deliverance from the brokenness of this world, deliverance from the brokenness of your own sin. Going back to our reading from Revelation again, what gives us the white robes that allow us to stand in the presence of our holy God? It certainly isn't a positive attitude. It isn't about being a really good person. It's much more than having the saints as an example to follow. It's about having Jesus himself. Remember what the elder said to John. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' sacrificial blood is the only thing that makes you and me clean. It is the only thing that can satisfy our deepest need, forgiveness and a restored relationship with God. And Jesus' death is the epitome of looking beyond the glass. Jesus' glass certainly wasn't half full on the cross. There's no silver lining in a bloodied man hanging on a tree. In fact, Jesus' situation was much worse than a half-empty glass. Jesus' cup was overflowing, but it wasn't overflowing with anything good. Jesus drank the cup full of God's wrath that was meant for you and me. But if we look beyond the glass, if we look beyond the bloodied man on the cross, we can see with the eyes of faith our Savior, our Redeemer. We see the same vision today that John gives us in Revelation. We see the victorious Lamb crushing Satan's head, winning the victory on our behalf. Through the eyes of faith, we see the Son of God who rises from the dead and gives us the hope of eternal life. And this same victorious Lamb, He goes with you through your tribulations. Jesus, your shepherd, He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He protects you from the devil's schemes. And He gives you something much greater than a positive attitude. He gives you the promise of forgiveness and eternal life with Him. A glass half full attitude can't cleanse you from your sin or raise you from the dead. But Jesus can. So next time that you're trying to bring encouragement to someone who's going through a rough time, I encourage you, don't try to get them to look at their glass as half full. Don't try to explain their problem away. Don't let God off the hook with a Bible verse. Instead, listen to them. Hurt with them. Encourage them to stop looking at the glass and start looking beyond it. To look to God's promises. To look to heaven. To look to God's word. To the saints who have gone before. And most importantly, to look to Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.